Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Happy New Orleans voice of your everyday local announcer. 105.13. Wait a minute. I always get that wrong, too. 105.3 FM HD2. I got it right. Boy, that's an exciting thing. I know it doesn't seem like much. But, you know, it's the little things in life. Isn't that true, Alan?
Yes, Alan? It is the little things. I agree with you.
Alan Taub is also here, T-A-U-B. Did I get that right?
Yes, Alan, yeah. Taub. More like if somebody pinches you, you go, ow.
Yeah.
Taub.
And how do you feel about that now, at this moment?
I'm good. Nobody's pinching me, but on the onset, it's a pleasure to be joining you on the show today. Yes, I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, Marianne came in and said, you know, I'm going to get Alan in here, get rid of you, and then have him come in and show how radio really can be done. or was that just thing she said, or was that thing that it started off with, that moron? And then it went on from there, you know. So now you're going to, folks, you're going to hear something that you're going to make, it's going to make you scratch the top of your head, and you'll say, gee, I don't really have an answer to that, but it's all going to work it together, I'm telling you. So Alan over here has joined us to do our program today. And the reason you might be easy to figure this one out, as you know, there are some kind of hard to figure out events going on in the world these days. But we have somehow made it through our what we need to do to keep us on the air and to do all the things that you have to do to be a person in a smart kind of way for the other people around you. I don't know if that works, but so far it has been, at least for me. Did that make any sense to you by any chance, Alan?
Well, I'm a fan, and I always listen to the show, so everything you say makes total sense. But
well, how did I make that mistake?
Yeah. For folks that might want to know, I guess you're probably thinking, well, who is this guy, Alan? Let me just say, introduce myself as being your waiter back in...
My waiter.
In the 70s. I'm just going to go ahead and say the mid-70s through the 80s. Ah. I don't think I ever made it to the point where I was requested by you. But that's only because, Tom, I didn't stay longer than a couple of years. 2, 3, 4 years at most at any given restaurant. And most of the waiters that you recall by name have been there probably a generation or two. But that said, it was always a pleasure to wait on you on those occasions that I did. I do remember, I think the last time I waited on you was when Alex Patu had his restaurant on St. Charles Avenue near Lee Circle. It was behind a motel, but it was a hotel.
I remember it very well. You would get in this thing, and it would drive you to sort of the middle of the block. You know, it's kind of hard to explain, but that's where all of their back stricks were happening, and they would go back there and do all the cooking. And a lot of it was very, very good. There were a couple of dishes there that I make to this day.
Actually, even after that, I waited. I was your waiter maybe once or twice. Usually some of the older guys that have been there, they had seniority, they would wait on you. But I didn't have the opportunity to wait on you at Andrea's.
We were talking to Chef Andrea just yesterday.
And this just occurs to me. Do you remember Miss Aggie?
Miss Aggie?
Cashier. Aggie was the cashier at Andrea's. And I'm just wondering if you remember her. And perhaps not. Perhaps not. That's okay. I mean, she was a wonderful lady, and I know she worked for Chef Andrea for the years I worked there. But anyway,
were you there? This is a no-brainer kind of a question, but I feel like I have to ask it. Were you a waiter there most of the time, or did you have other things to do over there?
So when I was at Andrea's, I worked myself up to a front. Well, I was a front waiter, and my back waiter is still there, from what I understand.
Really?
Fentino. His name is Fentino.
Oh, well, of course. He's still there, and he's been there since the day one, I think. Sandini? Tell me his name again. I've never quite known.
Fentino. And
Fentino, yeah.
He has been there a long time.
He has.
He was there, I think, when I was there back in, around 81, 82, something like that. But, he was terrific. He would speak, he'd go into the kitchen, and he and Chef Andrea would go at it in Italian.
And they would be telling this kind of the same story back and forth. but the reason for that was that they both spoke Italian very well, and it just was the natural thing to do, right? Sure.
Right. Yeah. Chef Andrea being from Anacapri, as you know, and I suppose that's more north. I know that Santino is from Sicily, I think. He was Sicilian, or is, as they say, he's still there. I miss him, and the other fellows that were there, some of them were in college, but there were Jose was one of the waiters. I'd embarrass myself if I tried to remember all their names, but it was a pleasure working with those guys, and also for Chef Andrea, I must say. Do you remember, what became of this? Anacapri was a restaurant.
Anacapri, yeah.
He had this place on Decatur Street. Part of,
I remember that was one that Chef Andrea had at one point or another.
Right.
Yeah.
And I want to say maybe early 90s. My girlfriend was a waitress there. I didn't work there. I worked at Andrea's in Metairie. But I thought, how is Chef Andrea going to do this? Because, he's such a hands-on guy. He needs to be in the restaurant. And I thought, how is he going to split himself in two? Because he wanted to be at Anacapri, and he also wanted to be at Andrea's at the same time. And, of course, he couldn't. He's, he's a mortal man like everyone else.
Yeah. But he was plagued with one problem that he never ever got away from, and that was also true of a lot of other restaurants too. That hotel, which is a great location for a hotel, it's a fairly nice looking place too, but boy, getting from your car to that place was really a challenge, because it was a little too small is the problem.
Yeah.
But you remember what I'm talking about if you saw it even once.
Oh, that's why the most, I think the majority of Andrea's customers, the locals, all went to his Metairie location. And I think Annika Prey was mostly tourists, I believe, with the exception of the locals, of course, that live in the quarter and downtown area. They would go there. But was it primarily the same menu?
It was a lot like it, but he was trying to do a blend of New Orleans food and Italian food and just put it together. And he did a pretty good job on it. One version of that I remember very distinctly, it was something he called, I want to say, the rice raffioni, or I forget what it exactly was. Ralph and... What?
His risotto?
It was like a risotto. It wasn't exactly, but he had crab meat and shrimp and that kind of thing in it. It was a little on the spicy side. It really didn't come across as an Italian restaurant. It came across as the other kind that he did, just straight ahead Italian from Sicily, as you mentioned, and also where he is from, Capri, that's where he came from.
I see. I was going to say that there's another restaurant that was not far from there back in those days, and I'm going to throw it out there to see if you recall this. It was on North Peters as well. Bella Luna?
Bella Luna. You somebody called me just a couple of days ago and wanted to know about that restaurant. And I couldn't even make the connection, but I think now that you've said it, that is there. And this was, it was on South Peter, as you said. If somebody called me from right around there, and and then take it from there. Does that ring any bells for you?
I remember seeing the place. I don't recall their menu, but a lot of these places, maybe they'd be there for a couple of years, as you know, and then they'd be gone. I think I read a statistic that one out of three restaurants make it past 3 years. In the industry, so that's not the best. The odds are against you, I think, in the restaurant business.
It certainly seems that way sometimes, and sometimes it seems like they've got the whole thing on a swing. I've got the song on a string. No, who would need a string for anyway?
I went into business with a guy from New York. We opened up a pizza parlor on Magazine Street. I think I might have mentioned Peter's Pizza was the name of it. It was not far from, we had typically most of the student clientele. But we were the first ones in New Orleans, I'm proud to say, that would sell pizza by the twice.
Pizza by the twice?
By the slice.
Yeah. Well, I've heard worse ideas.
Pizza by the slice. And the kids, the students loved that. They were just, because it was a heavy foot traffic. It was close to Audubon Tavern, too. So we had a kind of a spillover from the kids, the students that would hang out and party over there. At AT2s, I think, was the name of Audubon Tavern, or a nickname for it. But yeah, those were long ago, days long ago for me.
Well, there are plenty of those where they came from, and so keep listening to us and we'll give you a few more of them, and then you'll think of a few more yourself. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, and hanging with us today, right over there, not over there but over there, Alan Taub. How do you pronounce that? Taub or Tobe?
Taub is how it's pronounced, but
okay.
I'll take Taub as well. But it is an unusual name. It's a German name for German word for dove.
Yeah,
a dove, a bird.
A dove. So, okay.
The meaning, but Taub. Yeah.
And, you ever watch – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I was just going to add that I'm teaching up here in Seattle, but I waited tables in New Orleans for about 25 years before I decided to enter the world of education. I think that being what a waiter
– oh, okay.
Really prepared being a waiter, I was going to say, prepared me for – teaching more than anything else, I'd have to say.
I can easily imagine that, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got to take a let me put you on hold for a minute. We're going to just take a short break, and we'll be back with more of the food show. And if you haven't quite figured out about Stal Allen and Steel Tabin, no, wait a second. No, I'm goofing around with his name a little bit. Anyway, Allen will be back, and we'll cover some other matters. After first, if you will, this. Oh, welcome back. It's the food show, all right. And here we are talking about eating, drinking, restaurants, and cooking, and wine, and all of that. And with us today is Alan Taub. And he is a former waiter, I get the impression. Or have you moved on to a new career?
Yep.
You have?
Right now I'm working. I'm in special education. I'm a specialist, and I work in Seattle Public Schools.
Mm-hmm.
About 5 years now, and I still get the itch to, you know, I tell my wife, you know, I have my evenings free. Maybe I should get a job, get back to what I really love doing, and that's waiting tables. But
do you?
She says, well, I miss it. I must say, I just like the restaurant. Just being in the restaurant business is exciting, and having making people happy it's fun.
Well, it better be. Hey, do you know this TV show that comes on the it's the Tonight Show now, and a guy by the name of Jimmy. What's his last name? Anybody know?
Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah, that's close. Kimmel? I'm not sure if that's exactly it, but it's close enough.
Yeah.
Kimmel. Well, every time I see this guy, I am reminded about another host to a show like that, except he went a long way a long time ago. Remember, what was his name? Bobby Allen, I think was his name. He was the... He was the guy on the channel all of what we've been talking about, and so now it's slipped over into that little pit over there. So anyway, enough of that.
I know you're talking about.
Steve Allen. It took me a minute. Steve Allen, and this guy was the original host of the Tonight Show, and he had a style that reminds me a lot of a few other people in the business. Except he seems to be a little smarter. I don't know.
Wasn't he a piano player as well? Imagination?
Yeah, he was a piano player, and he had a lot of other gifts too. He was really brilliant, I thought. Always did. I wish they could do some repairs of it and put it back on TV or something.
He also sang, I believe.
Who?
If I'm correct, he was also he would sing too. I don't know if he would.
Yeah. He had the whole thing down. Yeah, it was an unusually high quality host. I'd love to be a guy like that. But then again, don't we have our own little things to take care of? 260-6368. Is our telephone number, 260-6368. And with us is Alan and Alan Taub. And where do we go next, Alan? Give me something to talk about. Or are you just talking about?
I'm going to throw this out there because I know that once in a while you and Marianne will throw a contest, but the folks listening, but have people call in if they know the answer to things, but I always knew that there were a couple of restaurants in New Orleans that had Shea which is spelled C-H-E-D, yep, as in Shea Helene. So I'm going to give one away. Shea Helene. But, and I don't know if they were all at the same time, but I think so. There are three other restaurants that began with the word Shea. And Shea, C-H-E-Z, with Tom, I guess.
Oh, yeah. You saw that on a lot of menus, and they also, one of the places where they were seen very frequently and cut a new whole deal for themselves were restaurants. They were very much home-style restaurants who would go over there, and Chez Helene, the famous one was Chez, C-H-E-Z, H-E-L-E-I-N-E, which was the man who was one of the first first-class really good hosts, I guess you could call him, but a waiter. And he did all of this in the black community back at that time, which was just beginning, and shortly thereafter became one of the most interesting and best restaurants in that part of the city. I was just getting into all of that back in that exact time. It would have been in the 1970s. And but it was terrific knowing those guys.
Yes, Chez Helene was on North Robertson, if I remember.
Exactly. But, good for you.
And in Metairie, there was Chez Danielle.
You sure did. Yep. There's another one.
Chez Danielle.
Danielle was a unique guy. I knew him, very, very good friends, he and I. But what a guy. We didn't see too many chefs that had the kind of class he had. No?
Do you remember, Tom,
yes.
Do you remember Chez Francais on Kingman Drive, by any chance?
Kingman Drive. No, I can't say. Oh, wait a minute. Wait. This is sort of off the... this is a big parking lot right next to the Clearview Mall, isn't it? Or am I thinking
I think
of something else?
Yeah.
And they had Middle Eastern food. So you would get Honduran and Nicaraguan and all of that, and Cuban food, a lot of that back in those days.
Well, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you too about another one, Tom. I'm pulling these out. These aren't all from your database, but just restaurants that have come and gone, I guess. And mm-hmm. I don't think Crozet's, and I might be mispronouncing it. It looks like Crozier's.
Crozier's, yeah.
Crozet's,
that's the right way to say it.
Crozet's.
Yeah, Crozet's.
I found out that Crozet's. There were he had two locations at one time.
He did, yeah, that's right.
Lake Forest Boulevard and West Esplanade.
That's where he started. He started in New Orleans East in a little tiny shopping mall. And it was just him and his wife. And the two of them had both in the business, had been in the business for quite a while. And I just happened to be heading for home. I lived out that way. And I saw a sign up at the top of the building that said French cuisine. And I looked at it and I said, that's impossible. There's no way there's French cuisine here in New Orleans East, which was very different from what it is now. And I took a look. I walked in. There he was. There she was. They pretty much said, hey, you've got to be out of your mind if you don't get this French food and these wines. We've got some nice wines to deal with, too. And let me tell you, he shortly thereafter got an eight-star voice. Let's try that one more time. Five-star rating. That's what I gave him. And he was that from there till the rest of his life, and that happened in a funny kind of way too. He was a singer, not a singer. He was a kind of guy who would go for a run for a few miles, and his wife was that way too. Interesting,
hey.
interesting, interesting guy, and I wish he hadn't. He passed away. Is what happened. It was just a strange thing. He just one day he was sitting on the sofa and bang. Strange.
I wonder about restaurants. It seems to me that back in the 60s, and I was a kid then, but it seems like there were more French restaurants in New Orleans without, and I know that the Creole influence, the influence of Creole food was there, but how true to French cooking were they able to follow? In other words, I'm wondering if the influence was so strong when Cajun and Creole food became more popular that their menus had to veer from traditional French dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think of any traditional French restaurants in New Orleans or the New Orleans area now?
We didn't see too much of it, but Gerard Crozier, he had it out there. He really did. He had his muscles, just to pick one of them off the top of my head, and more than a few more others too. He was terrific.
Also, it seems that you don't see too many Spanish, not Mexican. Now, when I say Spanish, I mean from Spain. I remember you might recall Altamira.
Altamira, yeah, I sure do. Yeah, that one got itself hidden, and it was not particularly well known. Although if you did get to know it, you would know right off the bat that this was definitely worth going to and enjoying the food. It always was good.
Have they been out of business a while? I guess they probably left.
Tell me the name again. I'm sorry, I lost it for a second.
Altamira restaurant.
And I think that was in Metairie, was it? Or was that the one in New Orleans East?
I think they had one. Oh, goodness, I thought it was downtown, but it's close to the river.
Mm-hmm.
I can't quite recall. I want to say the lower CBD area. When I say lower, close to the warehouse district, but I'm not quite certain. Yeah.
Well, it was a small restaurant too, so that made it even harder. So that's just the way it was. Hmm. Yeah, but that was definitely a good one. We always had a few good Spanish restaurants in the area, scattered around the city. But rarely more than one or two of them. I think we only have maybe one right now.
I see.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. It's great to be here with you talking about food, restaurants, cooking, and wine. Great to have you here for all the other things that could be listening to you right now. Let's not do that. And instead, we can put in a word or two. Hear about whatever it is you have been cooking lately. The one that's kind of been grabbing us over the weekend, this has been going on. My wife and how do I say this? It's not that it's a strange thing. It's just I can hardly ever remember, figure out the... Well, we'll come back from the news and then, or from the break, and then we'll see if anything has popped up. It's the Food Show on 105.3 FM HD2. This is the Food Show. We have been over here and hanging around and talking about stuff because, you know, why not? And with me is Alan Tobe, who's talking about, he was a waiter for a good while. And then you have me, Tom Fitzmaurice. I'm just, you know, I'm here. And that's what I plan to do for a while. We've only been on this air shaft only almost 5 years, you know, so it's, you know, it's 31. Okay, I'm guessing too high.
I think it's more like I think 33. Now I know Marianne has always said that she's going on 32, but it's well, anyways, it's well over 30 years, and it's
And I'm sorry. I'm sorry you have to listen to me instead of Marianne. So it's nothing much I could do about it.
I'm sorry that you have to permit me to pick your brain on some throwing out all these restaurants from some of them long ago, but some made an impression even if they weren't, if they're still not here, that they were good enough to make it on the map of New Orleans famous restaurants. And goodness, I was about to ask if you remembered Mumfrey's restaurant.
Mumfrey's, I remember the name, but I can't remember what it was. Can you tell me?
Mumfrey's restaurant was on Canal, 4900 block, 5,000 block. Mumfrey's, I know the family. I think they also had Fitzgerald's at West End, or somehow related. Now, I don't know if it was through marriage. Somebody married someone from the West End restaurant, but Mumfrey's was, gosh, it's one of the old ones. They used to say, well, it said on the internet that they were established in 1903.
Yeah, 1903, God.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, so I don't recall when they closed down exactly, but, you know, there was another one on Canal Street. It was,
there were a few of them up and down Canal Street. There were lots of funny little restaurants around there.
True. It seems like there were a lot more back in the day. I had one jotted down, but I think it was Knit City Seafood.
Knit City?
Knit City Seafood, yeah.
Knit City. No, I can't tell you that's come my way.
That was in the early 90s. That was 4139 Canal Street. Mm-hmm. It would be great if anybody's listening to this, that they remember any of these restaurants that we're talking about. That then that I'm pausing out here randomly somewhat, but some obvious and some not so obvious.
That's certainly true. I mean, same Mandina's, for example. They have gone up and down, back and forth over the years, forever, and a lot of regular customers, and the place itself doesn't change all that much, but they certainly stand up to just standing around and looking at each other.
I think they were, even when I left 2009, they were only accepting cash. Now, I think they changed that policy, as probably all the restaurants have. But I remember there was a time when there were a few restaurants in New Orleans that would only accept cash. It wouldn't take credit cards.
There were a bunch of them like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, Mandina's was within walking distance of my house. I still like Mandina's.
I do too. Yeah, I always thought they made a good artichoke and oyster soup. I always thought they did that really well.
That's true. That's true. They also have a turtle soup on the menu, but it's as most places, it's I guess veal, not real turtle. There are very few places I think that have the real thing. Well, are you tired of me throwing out these?
No, heck, this is what I do for a living. You know, this is so. I've been doing this for 40-something years, and in this case, I'm really telling you the truth. It's the food
show. Well, I'm bouncing around. Do we have a caller?
I think we just might. Let's find out if we do. Caller, are you hanging around there? Would you mind stopping in here and share us your wisdom with us? I say there. Say something, sir or madam, who might happen to be on our. Hello?
Well,
I don't hear anybody there. Are they. We tried.
Yeah. For some reason, maybe it was my phone. It kind of blipped. But how about is Bozo still around, Tom?
Well, yes and no. Bozo's, the two people who ran it, that was the guy who owned it, that was his nickname, Bozo's. And by the way, the reason his name was Bozo's is that was not his joke name. That was his real name. And he said, imagine when I was in the Army during World War II, and people would just walk up to me and tell me I'm Bozo. Anyway, they operated that until Bozo decided to retire, and he reasonably should, because he was in his late 80s. And his wife, not too long after that, in her 90s, she moved on too. So they sold it to one of their regular customers going back many, many years. And so that guy just took advantage of it. It's Eddie's. Let's see if I can remember the name. It's Eddie's. Yeah, it's Eddie's Seafood and Oyster Bar. Yeah, that's it. And he had everything in it that Bozo's used to have. It's the same recipe, same everything else. It was terrific. If you ever like the old Bozo's, go to that. It's just off of Veterans Highway on 23rd Street, I think.
Now, this is not to be confused with Mr. Ed's, is it?
Mr. Ed's. Yeah, but they came from the same place, though.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, that was what the story was.
Ah. Well, I'm going to take a break from throwing out these places. I still have a list here, but I'm going to ask you, Tom, because, again, did you go any place special for lunch today?
Let's see. Did I eat lunch today? No. I had a very nice omelet, which is the thing that we eat where I live at the moment. And as you probably might guess, there are certain little forces moving around in the places where we live right now. Well, this resulted in my having a great little omelet every morning. Pretty wild, huh?
I recall you said, Tom, this was a couple of days ago, that your daughter, I think I forget her name, she's a Mary as well.
Mary Lee, that's her. Yeah, it's my
Mary
daughter,
Lee.
A really great artist, among other things.
Now she's an expert at omelets. It sounds to me.
Yeah, that's not the easiest thing in the world, but you ought to see it. She lets it run a little bit. That wouldn't be for everybody, but I like it. So it kind of runs around on the plate, and that's. Thank you, darling. This is just what I love.
I agree with you. I even with scrambled eggs, I don't really like it when it's too overdone.
Sure. That's no good. I hate dried out omelets. When they start getting dried up, I can't stand. You know what? I ought to be telling you about the restaurant where I went to last night with Marianne, which was a pleasure. It was her name, actually, is I'm going to blow this name of this place, but it's right overlooking the Jefferson, Pontchartrain Jefferson, right, What? I heard another burst of something. So anyway, we went to the spot where you just can sit down and watch the waves come in. And then we went and we sat down and we continued to watch the wind going and all the other things up there too. But we had a really terrific dinner there, and they had some of that three-way. I don't think exactly it. There's a fish that grows in these quarters, and it's called the three-way. Somebody's probably got a better name for it than that. Triple tail. Thank you very much. That's exactly what it is. Anyway, it was on as a menu last night, and so Marianne and I both got it. It was so good. And that's a place to go that I don't know why I don't go there very often, but I'm going to start taking it a little bit more than I used to. It's a good, good place.
Do you typically get an appetizer before your first course? And you're like me, Tom, and really can't eat that much anymore.
Yeah, same issue that you were telling. Yeah, keep going. I didn't mean to just burst in on you there.
I was going to ask what did you have? What's the best thing about this place, or what do they do very well?
We had a little salad that was no big deal. The fish was tremendously good. And then they had a few other things. They have something that will sound like a good idea, but it is not a good idea, so listen to this. You're going to go to this place, the name of which, here we go, another one where we can't think of the name. Somebody know the name of this place? Anyway, where was I? I'm completely confused on everything.
I was curious how they prepare the fish. Is this something
It was... You can imagine what you'd come out with if you had trout almondine. And you would have almost the same fish, except that it's a bit bigger, and it lacks nowhere else. It has a great flavor. The texture is really nice. It's a nice color. I wouldn't hesitate to get that for, another 20 times. So that's a winner. What's the name of that place? It's like Jackie's or something like that. It's right on the lakefront, right there.
If I was living there, but I do recall Marianne. She likes to sit outside. You say you were sitting.
Yep, that's it.
So I should know the name of the place. There's two or three places that you need to go to where it's outside dining on a nice night.
I've just had it offered that it was the blue crab. No, it's not. That's a big ship, almost ship-looking kind of place. This is what some little guy who goes fishing every couple of days comes back to the restaurant and sells it to him, and then they are there to enjoy it. That's what we're talking about here. But if you heard the name, it's something like Jackie or Killer or something like, but their food has been good for quite a while. It's been around for a while.
I remember a time, Tom, when it seemed like almost every menu in New Orleans it sold fish. Mm-hmm. Of course, and most of them do. Yeah. Where we went through that blackened craze.
Chef Paul Prudhomme, he's responsible for that. But you know what? I think that's actually a great technique, but I don't think you want to put it on everything. That's the only trick to avoid. Just don't eat them all at once.
Well, I also think that it's a type of dish that Chef Paul, he's famous for it, and he did.
He sure is.
Did it best, and I think a lot of other restaurants misinterpret it. I think they would just make it very, very spicy or too spicy. And a little bit too blackened. It just didn't quite get the technique right.
Could be. It was a busy place. Was one of the reasons before it, because it was just busy all the time.
Well, I remember too. Then at that time, we couldn't get redfish. We couldn't get redfish there for a while because it was so popular that I think they had to put a moratorium on catching redfish. And that was, I think, when drumfish became popular. Now, I think redfish is in the family of the drumfish.
Yeah, very much so. I just made a little note to myself about this. I remember this actually happened at K. Paul's one day. I was in there. They would let me come in those days. For a while, Chef Paul did not allow me to come into his restaurant. I can't be mad at him for that. He's one of the great, great guys in the business. So anyhow, he was talking to one of his people, and they said, you know, we had a funny thing happen to us today. There was somebody who came in and wanted a redfish, a blackened redfish, and we could all, the only thing we could give him is a, I hope I get this out. What he wound up doing was a blackfish, and it was redfish on, you know, grilled redfish. If I'd a blackened redfish, and the next thing you know, he was, you get the idea. Ron the gourmet waiter. What? Huh? What?
You say Ron is about to come in?
Did I hear that?
Good afternoon.
Ron the gourmet waiter. Here he is.
How are you all doing?
And also still here is Alan Tobe.
Hi,
so everybody's
Ron,
here.
It's always a pleasure to hear you, Ron. You're a pro on the radio. I wish I was as I did the same great job that you do whenever you walk in. Let me just say that. I really enjoy listening to you. And I'm going to be quiet now and let you have a seat and talk.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. It's a great show. I certainly appreciate being part of it.
Good. Well, come on in and do it.
Well, thank you. I think this
You're
is
welcome.
The first time ever that I've actually called the show, and I've been barbecuing. I'm
really?
Today, so I'm with my neighbors, and we're doing some grilled chicken wings.
Yeah?
So what
sounds
I've done
good
is
to
I've
me.
I've grind some chicken wings overnight to get them kind of soft and clean them up a little bit.
Yeah?
And then I put them on the grill and grilled them, and then I put a wok next to the grill, and I built an Asian sauce into the wok.
Good idea.
As the chicken wings come off the wok, I put them into the wok, or off the grill. I put them into the wok, and then I put the wok on the grill. So what I'm doing is I'm just kind of flipping them around a little bit and just building the Asian sauce into the wings. Anyway, we're having a great time. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm doing great. Nice to hear from you. We are here in because of the puzzled circumstances in which we find ourselves lately.
Ron, let me ask you, if I may. So this sounds...
Yes, sir.
I'm intrigued. You're getting that grilled flavor at first when you put it on the grill, obviously, and then you're doing it with the sauce and then putting it back on the grill. Do you close the cover? Are you, like, smoking it as well, or is this always open grill while you're doing this?
I put the cover down to keep the fire from coming up and burning. I've got great heat, but once I put the lid on the grill, the orange fire goes out. The idea is we're kind of ovening them. I flip them once or twice. Once they're just about ready, I take them and I put them off the grill into the wok. And what my sauce is, it's lime juice, soy, and peanut butter of all things, just a little bit of peanut butter. So I've built a peanut butter sauce.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
It is, and a little bit of cracked black pepper at the end. Anyway, that's pretty much it.
That sounds full of stuff.
Do you marinate?
It's a simple sauce. It's lime juice, soy sauce, and peanut butter. Just a touch of peanut butter, though.
That's unique.
It sounds like there's no need to marinate. You're not marinating the chicken wings in the fridge before you put it on the grill, I take it.
Yeah, I brine them overnight in salt water, so I don't marinate them. But once you brine them, they become very soft, and the NaCl, sodium chloride, actually cleans up any bacteria that's on them, so they're nice and clean. They're a little more tender. And then I just put them on the grill. I grill them a little bit, throw them into the wok where I've built my sauce, and I put the wok back on the pit. And I just flip them a couple of times, that little shake that you do with the wok.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, well, that's straightforward and right in the middle of all of those flavors. That sounds good to me. Bring me some.
You bet. Great show as always. Again, a shout out to Doug, the magician behind the glass.
Boy, there's no question about that. That we could hardly live without. You're not going away though, are you?
Ron, are you still there?
That's you I'm talking about. Huh? Wait, what? Alan, you're not leaving yet, are you?
I'm still here. But since Ron was out grilling with friends and neighbors. I think he's gone. He's back to the chicken wings.
Oh gosh. Well, maybe we could get him back for a few minutes.
I was just going to ask him. I'm always tempted whenever I grill And I don't know how many people still do this. I really like grilled corn on the cob.
Wow, so how many do you need?
I was going to just see if he was what his side, if he was doing any vegetables or anything on the side there, along with the chicken wings. But it sounds really whatever he does. That's why he is called the gourmet waiter. He is a gourmet.
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.